This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 404. This is not an internet error message. Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hello, hello, hello.
How you doing?
Man, I'm tired.
Why are you so tired?
Because I be running the streets.
Well, that's your fault. That's your choice.
And then, because I've been running so much, then I had to power walk, and then I'm kind of limping.
Oh, see?
And then I take a nap in the grass, and the cops are like, get off the grass!
Oh,
and then
man.
I have to, like, roll.
Yes, put your hands up, though, when you do that.
Like, so, I got nothing. I ain't got nothing.
Nothing.
Just me. These are my titties.
Yep. Yeah, I got fingers.
I've got fingers and toes.
And I got toes. I got boobs. That's what I got. I got nothing else.
These are leggings with no pockets.
No pockets. There's nothing on my person except for underwear and a bra.
Yep.
Okay?
Exactly.
That's it. So that. Well, it sounds like you had a good week. I also had a good week. It was filled with all kinds of stuff, you know, because we have Tokyo Game Show popping off, so all kinds of news to keep up with there. Friends of mine have gotten their new iPhones, and I just kind of have to go, that's nice.
I'm not getting one.
That's nice. And
ever.
Hush. When you have an upgrade, you will upgrade to whatever.
I'm sure by the time I have an upgrade, the iPhone 7X G5 is going to be out.
Right.
And then I'll get the 6 Plus for like $30.
And it'll have like a Hatsune Miku ringtone that you get automatically for buying it. Because they're jam-packing it with new things now these
days. I'm not all that crazy about her. Now, if it was the new Sailor Moon theme song, which
really?
At first I was
really?
Not crazy about,
really?
But I've gotten into it now.
No, I'm not into it. I'm still not crazy about it.
I like it.
Well, you're special.
I'm sparkly special.
You are. I don't like it. I have finally gotten into the series, though.
It took 6 episodes.
It really did.
It really took till this last one. I'm like, all right, I understand where you're going with this, because they are really kind of traditionally following the manga, which is nice.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. But at the same time, because they're doing that, there's so many things that I've already expected would have... Like, these 6 episodes have really been the first half of the first arc of the version that we got back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they've condensed all this stuff in 6 episodes. And it seems like every time they turn over, somebody's tripping over a Sailor Scout. Like, it seems to be happening all too fast.
It's like, bam, here's a scout. Bam, here's
it's
a scout.
Like, oh, man.
Well, I mean,
I just made a new friend. And then we see, like, a shot of, like, here's another one.
Well, I mean, you kind of have to get to the nitty-gritty, right?
You
can't take 12 episodes to find all the Sailor Scouts when you're basically doing a reboot of something that's already known. Like, I kind of appreciate that they're, you know, not
like,
dragging
hey, look,
it out over
hey,
12
look,
episodes to find them all.
Well, I mean, I wonder how far, like, how much of the manga we're gonna get, because at the speed that they're going, we might get through R and might even get through most of S before even hitting, like, season 2-ish stuff.
I think it just depends. I think
because
that,
I mean they're gonna find Venus probably in episode 7, and
which that, will then give us all the core scouts.
That will give us the internal scouts. So then they'll be looking for the legendary Imperial Silver Crystal.
Yeah, which they're already kind of looking for the crystal now.
Yeah, it's a running thing. They've been doing it this whole time, but they're gonna have the 5 scouts. They're going to be like, oh, who's the princess? Ooh, where's the crystal? And then, you know, Darian.
Which I don't understand why they don't get that right off the bat. Serena's the princess.
It's like, hey, Moon Kingdom. I'm from the moon. Hey, Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, I know.
I get lost there.
It's not like the show is called Sailor Uranus, and we're just wading through all the senshi to find the one who's from Uranus.
Right. Like, it's Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon.
It's the Moon Kingdom's princess. Guys, I'm going to go out here on a limb.
I mean, like,
but I'm going to guess. Now, I did not finish college, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
So.
And I'm going to guess that Serena, the Sailor Moon chick, probably is the Moon Princess. I'm putting it out there.
No, I could be completely wrong. You know what I never got? Is even back from the 90s episodes, because, like, remember, half the show was literally their transformations. And then, and by the time you had like seven of them, literally, it was the whole show. It was just them transforming and possibly half fighting.
That's 10 minutes of the 11 minutes that you get in a half hour show.
So, but, like, when you watched, you know, Mercury and Mars and Jupiter and Venus transform, you see their symbol on their forehead.
Yes.
Like, you see it. So you know, oh, she's Sailor Mars. There's the Mars symbol. It's quite obvious.
Yes.
But Sailor Moon, you don't. So, like, literally her tiara just kind of forms on her head, and you don't see that.
Because she has a tiara because she's a princess.
Well, they all have tiaras.
I know, but she doesn't have a symbol.
No, because she has the moon symbol.
Because she's the moon princess.
But I just wonder, because they're always transforming, like, pretty much right near each other, if not, like, right on top of each other.
Right.
So I wonder why none of the Senshi were like, hey, like, my Mercury symbol pops up every time I transform. Why don't you have a symbol? Like,
is it because you're the princess?
Like, I mean, there are so many subtle, like, come on. That'd be the first thing I would ask.
Like, hey, how come you don't have a symbol when you transform?
Like, I mean, and Amy's the smart one, so I'm sure in her mind she's like, there's something up about that. And, like, every once in a while in this new series, she seems to have that look like, you guys are idiots. Well, like, she obviously has the info before everybody else does.
I enjoy that, but it's, like, it's the part that it makes so difficult to, like, suspend my disbelief to enjoy it, because I'm like, okay, it's obvious to me that we're looking for the Moon Kingdom princess. The leader of our team is Sailor Moon.
Yeah. Like, and they all, I love how all of their little, like, sayings that they say after they transform all have something to do with their, like, their planet and what they're the guardian of.
Yes.
Like, and that's a subtlety that you don't get from the 90s show, because really, Sailor Moon's really the only one who had much of a monologue, unless the episode was, like, the Amy arc or the Lita arc or anything like that. But I'm just, I wonder to myself, like, these girls are friends. And, like, yep. They're obviously, you know, battling.
Well, they become friends.
Like, they were friends in the past. Like, they're...
You know, when they were princesses of their planets.
Well, they're still princesses of their planets. I want to know what is going on those planets. What a horrible tangent, guys. We're sorry. But...
No, we want to discuss this. No, we're not sorry.
But it's a tangent that I feel needs to be addressed. Because, okay, yeah, it's Sailor Moon.
All the princesses from the universe have disappeared. Like, they somehow all managed to end up on Earth.
I don't know why.
And they all seem to manage to be in the same spot on the planet.
They all happen to be in fucking Tokyo. They're in fucking Japan.
And they all go to the same school.
Well, no, they don't all.
Almost.
Amy, Lita, and Serena do at the start. Ray's in a private school. And she actually doesn't change schools. And then later on down the road, Venus is at a different school, and then she transfers in. And then they all go to the same high school.
But they're all in Tokyo, and they're basically, like, blocks away from each other.
Like, they all live in the same, like, area of Tokyo.
So how does the universe lose its princesses?
I mean...
And they all seem to end up on the same planet, in the same fucking town on that planet.
Well, I mean, in the 90s version, and I don't even know if we're even going to get a proper introduction to the backstory. I really kind of hope they do, because the manga does it a lot better than the 90s show did. But, I mean, that can kind of be answered by the 90s version, because Queen Serenity, you know, Serena's mom, when she, you know, used the power of the Silver Crystal to, like, save them from the evil forces in Beryl when they first took over, which... I mean, if Beryl's won once before, and, like, mom had to go to DEFCON 5, like, not setting your kid up to, you know, succeed right off the bat.
But, of course, at the time, the kid was a baby, so...
She was a teenager.
Okay, see, this is where I'm getting fucking confused. Because if Beryl was, like, badass enough to, like, I have to throw the kids out of
They were all teenagers. They were all the age that they are now. But what initially happened was the night that, you know, the moon decided they were going to have a party, like this big gala event that, like, all the kingdoms were there. That's why all the princesses were there, because, like, apparently the moon owns the universe, which doesn't make much sense to me because it's a little moon of the earth. It's not even like the sun.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it would be a little bit difficult to live on the sun, though.
Like, I mean, if you were Sailor Galaxia, that would make so much more sense to me, but whatever. You know what? I didn't make the universe. But they're at the Moon Kingdom because they're celebrating this unity of the planets and stuff like that. And Beryl and her armies that she has amassed attack then. And, like, people are dying left and right. And in the manga, initially, what happens is because, you know, Beryl has the hots for Darien, right, who is the Prince of Earth, right, by the way, for those who don't know. Spoilers. And she kind of, like, says, you know, be with me, I'm all powerful. And he's all like, nah, I'm in love with Queen, you know, Princess Serenity, we're gonna live happily ever after. And she's all heartbroken, upset, and she goes to, like, suck him into, like, her Negaforce energy and, like, kills him. And as that happens, Serenity happens to see this, and she goes jumping towards his body and also gets killed. And Queen Serenity happens to see this and freaks out because, you know, Serena was gonna rule the kingdom.
Yeah.
And
it's
all
not
this,
good to have a dead heir.
And Serena's is an only child, so there's no other, you know, moon child to reign
moon
on.
Moon child!
But when that happened, literally in her devastation, she used the power of the Millennium Crystal, which they do a better job of explaining. Kit has the power to pretty much do anything it wants. It's like its own genie, depending on how you use it. And Serenity used it to essentially kind of stop time, revive everybody, erase their memories, and send their essences to Earth to relive the lives that they weren't going to get because people were... literally everybody died but her. And she just gave them a massive do-over. And they explained that in the 90s show. A lot better.
So basically, Serenity gives him a mulligan.
Yep. She's like, Serena was too young to, you know, for a life to end like this. So I'm going to send them to Earth where they can live lives and they can all be super best friends like they were now. So that's why I think they're all in that one place, Japan/Tokyo, within, like, close enough to each other so that, you know, eventually those memories would seep in and they'd remember their past lives. But they're not going to explain that the way that they're cutting the crystal version because that's just way too much to put in. Like, it's a lot. Like, a lot. Well, I'm just saying, I don't know how five bitches can hang out and, like, pretty much get naked every day in front of each other and see things glowing and stuff, and not one person say, hey, Serena, you know, like, I'm Mars, and this is my symbol, you're Moon, so wouldn't that mean, like, the logic is just, like, we're completely oblivious.
Yeah. Why do you have, like, different things on your tiara? And why do you have different things on your brooch ribbon thing?
I mean, why does your brooch have each color of our colors?
Yeah.
And, like, we're all around the big, massive golden, full moon.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm wondering if maybe
why
you
do you get a wand with a crystal moon on it? Because her wand, she has the wand now. Not the scepter, the wand. And the wand is like a giant crescent moon. Like, come on, bitch. I think the signs are pretty obvious.
I mean, you would think that one of them would just throw it up there. I'm just
like,
saying.
Be like, by the way, I'm putting my money on you being the princess only because we know we're not.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you are, so.
But we kind of know that you are because it's literally.
I mean, and you're the fucking leader even though you're the biggest ditz of all of us.
It's pretty
Something's
much.
Up.
It's pretty much written all over your body.
It's like you're a rich bitch from the moon.
And,
get over it.
Like, Tuxedo Mask seems to only be interested in you.
Oh, man. And they're making him... He was never that into her in the manga. And he wasn't into her that way either in the 90s show. Because, I mean, they're taking some liberties here.
Well, that's what you get to do when you're reimagining
something. I mean, because when you're... Because in the 90s show, he's a lot older. He's, like, in college. And she's, like, about to go into high school. So she's still, like, jailbait. And then Crystal, yeah, they're like, you know what? We're gonna make him a high school student so it's not so bad that he's jonesing
we
for her.
We want to make it
However,
less...
he's living in an apartment all by himself.
Because like, he's a man.
Like, I'm just saying. I mean, I know Lita, you know, or, you know, Makoto, you know, Jupiter, also is living by herself. But, like, when we finally get to see her place, it's not nearly as lavish and as posh as
well, Darian's. If you're going to be Tuxedo Mask, you probably would have a posh place.
But if he's a high school student, where's he getting the money to live by himself in such a place?
Maybe he's a trust fund baby.
I don't even think he talks. We don't even know about his parents.
He's a trust fund baby.
He must be.
Just, that'll makes help
no
you.
GD sense.
It'll help you. He's a
it
trust fund baby.
It hurts my brain.
He's a trust fund baby. Look. Oh. I'll help your brain.
But I can't stand just how lovesick
he's like Bruce Wayne. His parents died and he has all the money in the estate.
And
that's why he's
it
by himself
no end.
In his own apartment.
Because the kind of the dynamic of, you know, him not really being into her and having this, you know, because like before in the 90s show and in the manga.
Panda, except this is not the 90s show.
I know, but I'm just saying.
You can't that make it the 90s show.
He wasn't
not,
all into her from the start. And the points that he is kind of interested, he doesn't understand why. And like the way they're setting shit up, he's all like, yeah, I know you're Sailor Moon. I'm Tuxedo Mask. I got a boner for you. Boom. And he doesn't even throw the fucking rose in the show. He just says something and then jumps. Oh, one of the episodes, I am dying. Because literally he says like three words to Sailor Moon and then just jumps off the building. Like, doesn't even do the cape floral. Doesn't even like stay
this
around. He just
panda.
Bounces.
Panda, I'm going to say this again.
Straight up this bounces.
This is not the 90s version. This is not just a redrawn 90s version. This is the new
I mean,
tape.
I wonder if we're going to get the Moonlight Knight now.
You're probably going to get Moonlight Knight.
Oh my God. He's just going to stand there because yeah. It's going to be so bad.
And he's just going to stand there and look.
It hurts. Anyway, Tokyo
suit.
Game Show. Let's talk about something positive now before I cry.
Don't cry. It's Sailor Moon.
It hurts. And I mean, I'm going to watch all of it because I'm a.
Because you're a glutton for punishment?
Yep. And when it's all done, I'll go and put Escaflowne in and I'll remember what good anime
I
was like.
I still haven't watched Escaflowne.
I don't have it on Blu-ray, though, but I got it. It is so fucking good. I mean, the noses are a little long, but you can get used to that. Anyway, Tokyo right. Game Show! So, game time!
Game time. Hold up. Before we get to game show, I have a couple of things got to talk
sure.
about.
Sure, go right ahead. So, I just ate up like 20 minutes of our show.
It's okay.
Bitching.
It's just bitching about Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon.
It's cool. It happens. So, we are on the verge of broke bitch time happening.
Oh, I'm already broke. I started early.
Yeah, well, you're an overachiever. we are, at this point now, a month away from Bayonetta 2. So that's going down.
We're like a month away from Evil Within.
Where
that comes out in October.
Yep. We've got a couple of days to Hyrule Warriors dropping. So, you know, that's some shit. Just saying.
Right.
Guys.
Oh, also side quick,
Smash Brothers
I'm finally
Brawl?
Not level like 8 anymore in Destiny. I'm 12 now.
Okay, so Pin and I will be playing Destiny.
Yep.
And I got your back. I I've been farming.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, like I mentioned last week, Destiny sidetrack real quick.
No, really?
Surprise. This is how it's going to happen for the next.
Until we're really in broke bitch, like, and something pulls us out of Destiny, we're always going to bring up something that happened.
There's
going to
be like
Destiny.
A because they keep adding
Destiny Day.
Well, no, there's special event. I mean, the game evolves. It doesn't just end when you finish the story.
Does it evolve like a Pokemon?
Kinda, it does, because you have, you know, additional weapons that you can always get. There are special events that come on. There are limited time events that Bungie drops on the weekend. So the game does evolve. New things get added. There, some are for a limited time, some are permanent. So it's going to keep growing. So when new stuff pops in, I'm going to keep talking about it. Like the weekend thing this weekend was Crucible stuff that allows you to fight with vehicles.
So, oh,
you know
damn.
How sparrows don't have
guns.
Weapons,
yeah,
but they basically created Crucible stuff where it's just a drop full of vehicles with weapons, and so it's basically just motor vehicle mayhem as a Crucible thing.
Oh my God.
And that's just this weekend, and it's popping back out on Monday. So we're constantly, or at least me, it's constantly going to be talking about Destiny as they pop those new things in and out and all that kind of stuff. But I finally finished the story mode. So
okay.
I finished the last mission.
I'm not there yet, so
I finished the last mission on
no,
Mars.
No spoilers.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Wait, Mars is the last place?
Mars is the last place.
So wait, so the game is literally Earth,
Moon,
Venus,
Mars.
Okay.
Plus,
and the reef, but you don't really do anything on the reef.
And there's more things that are going to open up in time on the reef.
Okay.
But the reef, and then you also have Crucible, and then you have Strike playlists that pop up. So there's basically 7 areas for you to...
I feel like the game is incredibly small for as expansive and wide as it is.
It's not that it's small, it's that your main destinations, as far as where you go, are small, but the actual environments on Earth is huge. I'll tell you right now, as far as, like, Earth goes, those main missions that you've done, you've only actually scratched, like, 35%.
Oh, no, I went back to Patrols because I went after that fucking spy medal,
which... This is what I'm talking about. In Patrols, I'm telling you, between those missions and hitting Patrol, you've only more than likely scoured 35%. Because almost every single building that you see that has stairs that go down have some kind of dungeon with big-ass bosses
in them. With fucking hallowed fucking knights in them.
There's literally a path where you can go around most of the island and get into some higher level enemies. I found it by accident. There's a shit ton of loot crates back there and spine metal. Like, the worlds themselves are actually huge.
Oh.
Huge.
So wait, I wonder what level the Hallowed Knights on Earth are. So, like, the first time I played, I think,
One hole that I went to on the patrol that had 3 Hollow Knights in it, and they were level 18 yellows.
Okay.
And there's 3 of them in there.
Because I think the first time, I think I was 6, and I went down this hole, and there was, like, a 3 down there, and he just got wiped out. So I was like, nope. And, like, the way that the quest made me, like, go around them to get to this other side, and, like, I see him, and I revive him because, you know, I'm polite like that. And then I, like, looked up to kind of see, and, like, it just said, you know, ? Yep. In red, and I was like, no.
Yeah, until you get within 2 levels of where they are, you can't see the number.
Okay.
When you're within 2 levels, it says ? In red, but you can actually see the number underneath.
Okay.
And so it'll tell you, and it's usually, like, 2 above where you are.
All right.
To let you know, don't fuck with this.
Yeah, don't throw your magic at this, because it's going to barely make a
dent. Don't drop that thunkathon, because it's not going to help you out.
I did my first strike.
Ooh. Devil's Lair?
I did Devil's Lair, and I did it at 12.
Nice.
Because I'm out of everyone who's playing, you know, like Ninja and my friend Goot and my Biffle. Well, my Biffle's lower than me now, though I'm sure by the end of the show he'll probably be higher than me. But, like, the core people that I plan to play with are all, like, either in their 20s or higher than me. So I'm, like, the odd man out, which is weird, because I'm never the last one.
I can open the door. I can show you where to grind. I can show you where to farm.
But anyway, so I'm level 12 now, and I did my first strike. And at first I thought, okay, I'm like, we'll probably do, like, one kind of, like, ambushy type thing where we're going to get onslaughted by stuff, and then we're going to fight a boss. No, it's, like, 3 ambushes and then a giant fucking boss fight. Or at least this one was.
It depends on the strike. There are some that are 3. There are some that are, like, 4.
Like, I was like, are we done yet?
There are some that are basically 2 onslaughts and 2 bosses.
So, like, the first one I did, like, the big ending boss kind of looked like a giant mechanical bug. And you had to shoot off its plating so you could actually get it. And it was me, my friend Goot, who re-rolled another character to play with me until I turned 20. So he's like, I'm doing this for you, because otherwise... Because if someone jumps into a game and they're way higher than you on your strike team, you don't get nearly as much XP. So, like, it actually hindered me when he came on as his 20. So re-rolled another character so that he can play with me until I'm 20, and then he'll go back to the character that he actually wants to play. Hashtag I feel bad for Titans. But, because I have to say, I do. I feel bad for Titans every day. All day, every day.
All day, every day.
But we were in a team with me, who was 12. His re-roll for me, who was a 9, and a level 8, another warlock, who eerily did not want to talk to us and just wanted to do the strike mission. So I had a strange feeling that this player had been in a strike, and, like, right near the ending boss, people, like, pulled out of it, which then pulled him out of the strike. And I guess he'd probably been waiting for a while, because he was just, like, he knew exactly where to go, he knew all the right things to kind of hit, so we're like, oh.
Well, I can help you with that. So, strike playlists are literally at random. You set what level you want to do the strike at, and the strike playlists are only available when you hit 18 and above, and the major ones are 18, 20, 22, and 24.
Okay.
And then there's a specialty one that comes in over the weekend that's 26 or 28.
Okay.
which fucking sucks. But what they do is when you pick a playlist, it at random picks one of the strikes from the planet and makes you run through it with bosses at that level. So once you've done the strike playlist basically 5 times,
you know,
you've pretty much hit all the strikes, so you know where you're going. So
maybe this person rerolled a character and knew the strike.
Yep.
So... but I'm absolutely loving it, and I know I couldn't talk much to it last week because I was still very low and hadn't left the moon yet. I'm on Venus now, doing the Venus stuff, and, like, the collection aspect, which is something that we all know I love to do in games. If you're gonna give me the objective to collect, like, scraps of beef from the floor, I would probably do it. And I finally did my first collection of the spine metal. And then I'm like, I don't know what to do with it. Like, I thought I'd be like, go turn this into blah, blah, blah for something.
Yeah, you do.
You do, but it's not like a, it's not a moving forward thing. Like,
yeah, no, 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 Vanguard. But who did you turn it into? Because there's two people you can turn it into.
I turned it into the Crucible guy.
No!
I did. I was like, I'll take some Crucible points. Thank you.
So, if you turn it into the Vanguard Armory dude,
it's a robot chick. She's a chick.
Yeah, okay, fine. You turn it into the Vanguard Armory chick?
Yeah.
That can help you unlock weapons.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Yeah. So now I'm currently on the moon, because I decided to take a break from my, you know, saving the world and junk to do some, you know, exploring and some, like,
farming.
Thieving. Mm-hmm. Thieving. Mm-hmm. So now I'm working on the filaments and stuff.
Yep.
I noticed that in Venus, though, like, the collectibles, like, I love how they like to make them shiny and give you that audio cue that you're near one.
Yes.
But in Venus, like, they're really kind of blatantly, we're three dots kind of hanging not on a leaf, but near trees.
Yep.
So, like, every time you turn to a tree, there's most likely a
spirit bloom.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm just like, you're making this a little too easy for me, Bungie.
Well, here's the thing. You want it to be easy because you got to get 50 of them before you can turn them in.
So
you want them to be easy and you want them to be blatantly visible.
And I know after a certain point that the second class will unlock.
Yes.
The subclass will unlock for me.
I think the subclass unlocks at, like, 16?
Yeah. And I heard that, like, once it's open, like, it's open forever.
Yep.
Which is nice, because at first I was like... Because
you can go back and forth, and you can go back and forth when you're in the middle of a fight.
Because I was dying at first. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, I've been doing all this Void Walker stuff, and I'm getting so used to poning so much with my Void shit. Now I have to go and do the sunbursty thing and lose all my experience in the Void?
No, you don't lose it. So it sits there.
I was worried about that at first. Nope, I'm like, I don't want to have to start all over and be weak sauce again.
No, it doesn't move from one to the other. It sits there. So you can work on them either at the same time and be like, I'm going to do this mission as this class and this mission
neat.
As my
all
subclass.
Right.
But the points stay there.
I look forward to what else is going to happen. I want to know more about the lady that we encounter on Venus. Like, I know I still got a whole planet of stuff I have to worry about.
You have a little bit of a conversation with her at the end of the game.
Okay. Because the fact that she's like,
and she gives you a gift.
I kind of like the introduction that you get to her, because she's all like, you know, talking to your ghost, like, oh, whatever, little light, and just kind of like pushes it out of the way. Like, she's totally kind of like badass.
No, she's badass.
And he's like, don't call me that. And, like, I love that little nip, because we know that, you know, Peter Dinklage.
There you go.
Is, you know, a little person.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, ooh, burn. Yeah. But not really, because...
No, she's badass. It's good stuff. You gotta do strike planets.
All right, I feel like I want you to tell me, because I know there's the big hint that she says, you know, because he's like, you know, the light is like, you're not a guardian. And she's like, I wasn't forged in light.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, do guardians have to be forged in light to be a guardian?
Yes.
Okay, well, she's obviously strong, and she's talking to somebody, unless she's just flipping nuts.
Nope.
So I'm like, what is she talking to?
I think as you play more in the game,
you'll
figure
it out.
More things that'll happen.
And, like, I know that she's like, oh, once you go to the Black Garden and go fuck their shit up, like, your traveler will heal.
Yep.
Sorry, I still think I'm the traveler.
You're not the traveler.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Damn it.
Sorry.
But it was like, become legend.
Yep.
And the traveler's a legend.
Yep, and you can become legend, but you're not the traveler.
Well, can the traveler die and then I become the legend?
No.
The traveler?
You're not going to be the fifth Hokage. I'm sorry.
Why not?
I'm sorry. It's not you.
Why not?
I'm obviously able
to go through Venus and pwn it like a boss.
You're badass, but you are not the traveler.
Guardians are falling left and right in Venus. Me, I'm just all like, what's up?
I'm here. You are.
I made it. No one else made it. I'm obviously worthy.
You're not the traveler.
I'm totally worthy. Is the traveler awesome? Do we get to see him and or her?
Nope.
What do you mean no?
Nope.
No. What? No.
Nope.
No. No.
You told me not to spoil it.
No.
But...
No. 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 I'm sorry. If I have been brought back from death to...
What? You get to see all the other guardians.
Sorry.
Cool. You get to see the other Guardians.
It's kind of like
that
the whole...
have completed the story. They're all there in their armor and shit.
It's kind of like the last freaking guard, like the last fucking Avatar.
No, it's not.
I'm just saying because in the last fucking the last Airbender Avatar bit, like even when you're the Avatar, you get to see your past self. Like
and the Shakura, and you wipe out the entire Avatar line.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Is that at the end of book two?
Sorry.
Or book three? Is that book three?
I'm sorry.
Because I'm only in book two.
Forget I said that.
You have totally just killed it for me.
I'm sorry.
She wipes out the entire so she's the last one? Well, then obviously Aang's not the last one.
Yeah, Aang.
Now that you brought it up.
Well, because Korra is the granddaughter of Aang's kid, duh.
Well, yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Remember?
Yes.
Okay, so obviously Aang wasn't the last one.
So wait a minute.
Because you have the other airbenders.
So.
Wait, no, she's not Aang's kid. She goes to study with Tizen,
who's Aang's kid,
and has grandkids. So obviously, Aang is not the last Avatar, and he's not the last Airbender because three of the kids are Airbenders. One of them is not.
Right. So now they're like repopulating.
One of them is not a Airbender. She actually is like a psychic. It's awesome. Okay. So anyway, Korra, some shit happens, and there's a you know how there's that connection to the past Avatars, and if something breaks.
Something happens to her when she's all Avatar-y and the Avatar states shit can fuck up.
Yep, and it can wipe out.
So somebody did something to her when she was in the Avatar state, and now it's wiped out the entire line of Avatars?
Yeah, and for a couple of episodes, she was no longer an Avatar because she wasn't connected to them.
But then she got reconnected? Was it like a bad AOL handshake?
It was kind of like a restart. She got rebooted. Lost a few Avatars in the struggle. Had to start again.
Burn, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but anyway.
Right, so anyway,
no. If you are playing a role where you're establishing or helping this super powerful omnipotent being into being more awesome, I demand to see your face,
Panda. But here's what I'm saying.
And if I'm not it,
Panda,
then I want to see your face. I want to see your face,
Panda. Panda, what I'm saying is, and what you have to remember
is... I want to see your face.
The game is ever-evolving. Just because you complete the story that was part of the download doesn't mean it's the end of this universe.
I want to see your face!
I have a feeling that with the big DLCs that are coming from Bungie over the course of the next 2 years, that we'll more than likely see the Traveler. And guess what? You gotta have something for Destiny 2, okay?
Want to see your face.
So anyway, I just cracked 24.
I mean, it's none of my business, though.
No, it is your business. I just cracked 24. I'm grinding to get to 26 because you can't do the raid, which takes at minimum 10 fucking hours to complete.
I want
to
cry the fact that you just said raid.
Yeah,
because back in my day, there was a game that I played that I went on raids, and people used to laugh at me and tell me that I had no life and that I needed to stop gaming.
No, wait, hold up.
Wait a minute.
Okay, now that game that you are talking about that shall remain nameless.
Wow.
Okay, you are spending way more than just a couple hours a day playing it.
I just think it's funny that my sister, who is not an RPG-ish, you know...
But I fucking love Destiny, and I'm not touching that raid. And now
you're using lexicon, like, looking for group and raid.
I didn't say LFG.
You just did.
That didn't come out of my mouth.
You just did.
No, I didn't.
Like, looking for people for my fire team. You know what that means? Looking for group, bitch! Shh! And now you're talking about wanting to be 26 so that you can go on
a
raid?
No, I'm not going on the raid.
You're totally going on the raid.
No, I don't have 10 hours. Okay? It took a clan who's been training since fucking January 10 hours to complete the raid.
I love that you're talking about, what are they called? Clans? You mean guilds?
Shut up.
Guilds?
Nope.
Guilds getting ready and training for raids?
Nope.
Or instances?
Nope. Don't know what you're talking about.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's none of my business. I'm going to sip my tea.
Mm-hmm. Shaking my head all day long.
So, anyway, so I just cracked 24. I'm trying to get to 26 so I can do a couple of the bigger strikes.
Okay.
Because I am not touching that raid. I saw some video.
Raid!
It's not for me. So, but I'm absolutely loving Destiny. I'm loving the strikes, and I can't wait for the next big set of DLC. And right now, I'm just pretty much farming on Earth and on Venus like crazy because I'm trying to get me a purple item. I don't have any purple items. I want purple items, so I'm farming for purple items because I want a legendary gun.
I never thought this day would come.
The Crucible.
And then Destiny
because I can't
happened.
Do the Crucible without a purple weapon.
I could cry.
Because I get my ass handed
I won't,
to me.
But
all
I
the
could
time.
Cry.
Every single time. So, Tokyo Game Show, now that that's out.
Now that all the rants, the raves,
yes,
and the tangents.
Yes, the rants, raves, and tangents
and the U-turns
out.
And the left turns and the right turns
and then
are
the
all done.
And the backgrounds to stuff that
we could
talk
now talk about what we were planning to talk about 30
so
minutes
first
ago.
First up for me is actually a game that I was on the fence about whether or not I was going to play. Like, when I first saw it at E3, literally the first note I wrote was like, well, Panda's going to love this. Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the ship date coming out of TGS for it. So Bloodborne will be in North America on February 6th.
Just in time for before Valentine's Day.
Yep. So just in time to fuck up your Valentine's Day.
Just
unless you have an amazing Valentine.
Unless you have an amazing Valentine who wants to either watch you play it or wants to play it and have you watch and then maybe have some chocolate during it.
Or something like that. And what's
or you get a heart-shaped pizza and, you know, heart-shaped cups for Mountain Dew.
But what's most interesting
classy
to me...
Classy date right
I'm
there.
I'm continuing to move along because I'm not engaging. But what's most interesting to me about that date is that it's only one day after it's released in Japan.
Good. So, I'm glad they're not giving, like,
you know, usually
in a
there's
start.
Like a month, if not a 3 month, just because, you know, doing the localization is not an easy thing. And so usually there's at least a month of gap between
or sometimes I mean the bare minimum you might get 2 weeks between releases from like North America mm-hmm. to like England and then to region 3 which is like Asia.
Yep, but usually Asia when it comes to a game like this, especially, you know, since this is from software, you know, typically it would be released in Japan first.
Yeah, and then we get
then
it later.
We get it. But that there's only a day between the two shipping dates is really interesting to me. There is going to be a collector's edition of Bloodborne.
Oh,
surprise,
God,
surprise.
I can only imagine what sweet swag you'll get from
now,
that.
Now, it's $79, though, which is interesting because you get a steelbook collector case, you get an art book that has a bunch of the concepts in it, and you get a digital copy of the game's complete soundtrack plus the game. So that's a pretty sweet collection for, you know, $79, where typically the game itself just would be $59, so you're talking $20 more for the extra swag. I think that that's a reasonable price, and I think that you're actually going to see for a chunk of games that collector's editions versus premium editions are now going to be the set, and your collector's editions are going to give you an art book, probably some music, some concepts, things like that, and the game for $20 more, and your premium editions are going to be your things that have the figurines and the tchotchke type stuff in addition to the art books and whatnot. So I actually thought it was pretty interesting that that collector's edition was going to run that way. And one thing that I really wasn't aware of in the game, in all honesty, so, you know, double dumbass on me for not doing the due diligence of getting the homework right. But the game's going to have both cooperative and asynchronous online play.
Oh.
Which
okay.
I had no idea. And one of the things that's in the online play is this Messengers feature, where basically they're kind of weird, otherworldly type like creatures
okay.
that bring messages to your hunter from
wherever
the ether.
Uh-huh.
So kind of like a Hogwarts owl, but
you can give me a Hogwarts owl
weird.
Whenever. I'm a big owl fan.
So
the birds of prey.
I'm really looking forward to Bloodborne. I might actually pick it up.
Okay.
As opposed to watch Panda play it.
Okay. Ooh, I'd love to see that happen.
Might. We'll have to see, but might.
Okay, so then on my side of the Tokyo Game Show stuff that came out, I was really feeling the little teaser trailer that they were giving us for Deep Down, which is coming out of Capcom. Which at first when people...
Which was deep down again.
When you saw it, you kind of thought it was going to be Demon Souls
2. Right, right.
And then the name came up and everyone's like, what is this?
Right.
Because it, and then they showed the thing for Bloodborne, which came from, you know, so...
Yep.
So, but last year, I mean, at E3, we kind of got a taste of it because we saw a dude in armor walking through this very open spaced area, and then he encountered this very giant, oh, I don't know, fucking dragon.
It is a big dragon.
And, yeah. But they showed another trailer now, and we're seeing a lot more. That, and I'm really down for it. So, I mean, I love the idea.
A lot more what? Carnage? Destruction?
Well, we're seeing a lot of that, but we're also seeing some depth in what you're actually going to be doing.
Which is?
So, I'm going to say it like this. So, put the element of, like, Desmond and the Animus.
Yeah.
And his world, his modern day world.
Yeah.
And then put the duality of the medieval knight fantasy world and kind of put them parallel to each other. So it seems like, and this is only from a trailer.
So it's like assassins?
Sort of. So you're a character, a dude, and he's living in the present, which I think it's like 2092, so it's like future.
Future present, yep.
And his job, he's talking to this AI at his house. He's like, yeah, he's like, every time I'm getting ready to go on a job, like these dreams, I get these dreams. And the AI is like, well, you know, you're doing stuff that's high stress, you know, that it tends to happen. And then it cuts to, you know, a knight in armor fighting a dragon along with several other knights of different types of armor doing other types of things. So there's something that is taking the form of these medieval looking creatures that is corrupting something in the future world. So they have to go to this place. They like, I want to say they download into this place where they fight these entities. Okay. And like I said, this is all trailers, so this is all speculation. I do not work for them. I have no idea if it is true.
This is Panda's interpretation
of what I think deep saw. Down is trying to tell us is going to happen. So, I mean, they were showing multiple knights attacking, like, one very giant monster. So I feel like there's going to be an element of cooperative play.
Okay.
Because I feel like there are going to be some monsters that there's no way, no matter how powerful you are, you're going to need the additional, like, manpower to take it down, which I love the idea. I mean, also with the name Deep Down, it kind of makes me think, like, kind of like with Desmond and the Animus, you're going through somebody's, like, timeline, their, like, ancestral line.
Right.
So, like, when you go deep down into sleep or deep down into the system to do these things.
You just have to dig deep down in order to survive the battle?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of symbolism there, but I'm just saying from first glance of this new trailer and from what, you know, from the little bit of audio that we got from it, there's a lot more going on than we thought initially with it kind of just being a Demon Souls clone-ish type.
Successor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Capcom's really going to do with this. Like, it's going to get my money.
Right.
Like, I haven't...
There's no reason to joke. It's going to get your money.
It's going to get my money. I'm probably living on ramen the week that this comes out because I'm going to be playing it because I don't think if they make a Demon Souls 2... I don't think I've got the...
You don't think you have the...
I don't have the mental capacity to go through
the mental fortitude.
I think
you have the capacity. I think it's the fortitude you're talking about.
My constitution has been weakened to a point where it's going to take me a couple more years to really be okay with jumping into that type of game again. But I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with Deep Down.
So, you know, I am not a Demon Souls person.
I know you're not.
Nor have I been...
ever.
A Demon Souls person.
Yeah, I know.
I respect anybody who has the fortitude to get through Demon Souls. Like, I attempted a little bit of a demo of Demon Souls, and I was like, nope. Huh. There's only so much spanking of my butt that I will allow a game to do to me before I'm like, this is not for me. It's not mine.
I mean, you definitely get a sense of satisfaction when you complete something like that, which is what initially drew me.
Yep.
But
you can't actually complete it to get to the satisfaction point.
You have to, it's a test. It's a testament to your willingness to go through the grind.
I like going through a grind, but there's grind, and then there's just having my ass handed to me. And there's only so much of my own ass that I can take before
You take all your ass every day. It's attached to you.
But I'm talking about having it handed back to me as opposed to taking it with me on a traveling trip.
Got it.
And so I was just like, this is not my bag. Like, I'm not going to overcome this and feel, like, excited. Like, Destiny, there are things that, like, I get killed and I respond. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get it this time. I've got, like, the right fire team. I've got the right weapons equipped now because I know I need this one to get rid of this guy's shield faster to do this. So I've got it. And I was able to, you know, do things. Like, the final mission, as far as the story goes, I was able to actually complete by myself, which was surprising, to say the least. But my big thing is really and truly having a game that I feel like I can accomplish and complete. I don't like playing games that I know that I'm not going to be able to complete. And so I just don't pick them up. And that's kind of where I netted out with Demon's Souls. But I respect everybody that jumped in and, you know, continues the fight and finished the game for sure. Like, I tip my hat to you people, but it's not my bag. That being said, other news that came out of TGS, because there's a lot of game stuff that happened. We're not covering everything that happened in TGS in this episode. We'll have more stuff to talk about next week for sure. But one of the ones that I think was really kind of interesting to me in that it was surprising to me that it's what Square Enix talked about. Well, one of the big things that they talked about at Tokyo Game Show was they've announced Shinra Technologies, which is a cloud gaming service that's going to debut in 2015.
And does it have something to do with Final Fantasy?
Well, they named this company after the organization from Final Fantasy VII, which is why I was like, wait, Shinra? So are we doing something with Final Fantasy? That's not what this is. But basically, we're all friends here, right?
Yeah, I thought okay. So.
All right, so here's the deal. We all know that Square has not had the best time of it.
No, not as of late.
As far as, you know, successes go of late, you know, it's the last couple of Final Fantasy games have been met with some criticism. Some of it well deserved. Some of it just trolls upon the web. Let's be fair.
Okay.
Okay.
Fairness given.
All right. Final Fantasy 15, which, remind me, is that the one that I do want to play? 15?
Yeah.
That's the action RPG one, right?
Yes.
Because it was 13 thing, and then they're which like, they no, we renamed
about,
it.
And they had news about Final Fantasy 15
we're gonna
at Tokyo Game Show.
We're going to get there, because you're going to talk about it. But
Only lightly.
Yeah. But 15 was the one that I was interested in, because it's action RPG, which is traditionally the only RPG that I actually enjoy. Like, say, Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
But they've basically said, hey, the gaming ecosphere has changed, and you no longer have to have dedicated consoles and boom fatty powered PCs to have great gaming experiences. And the audience in the gaming community has kind of figured this out faster than we have, because you have some really great games popping up on mobile. And whether that's tablet, smartphone, portable device, pick it, that's kind of changed. And so what this company is going to allow them to do is to be more nimble and develop things that can live and run in the cloud to be run on more than just consoles. So they're moving away from focusing development on console first. Shinra is going to be their piece that focuses on cloud-based gaming. And they've brought in the group that worked on
Shinra Cloud.
Seriously, right?
I can see why people were like, what?
But they brought in the company that worked on the Just Cause games to work on their first batch of game development for the cloud and that space. So I think, like, the news to me, this news, let me jump back, was really surprising to me, because I expected Square Enix to really be hard and heavy pushing Final Fantasy 15 in the hopes of kind of regaining some of the community trust that they've lost with the last couple of games.
Oh, they've lost a lot.
Come on now, be nice. They're trying. Okay.
They're trying.
I think that, you know, Square Enix got very comfortable with leading the way in great looking RPG games.
Because I agree.
They were the leader in graphics and FMV on previous gen. You know, before 360, they were killing it. Mm-hmm. If you had a gorgeous looking game that you were looking at an FMV of, and your jaw was dropping, you were probably looking at a Final Fantasy game, or you were looking at something Square put out.
Yep.
Then the new consoles came out, and everybody could push a ridiculous amount of polys, and everybody had the toolkits to make long, great, triggered FMVs and QuickTime events. Right? Because Final Fantasy was the OG when it came to QuickTime events as far as console gaming went.
Okay. Right?
Like, when you think back, you know, an instance popping up and being able to get that first hit in was timing. That was a QuickTime event. Like,
yes.
That was their shit. Right?
Yes.
And then you had, in the 360 world and PlayStation 3 world, you know, games like God of War and other things popping up that really took QTE and advanced it. And I don't think that Square was ready for it. I think that they got humble and that this is our space and nobody could touch us. And then some upstarts came up and actually wrecked shop. And I don't think that they transitioned fast enough. I think they went, oh, the diehards are with us, so we'll push out Final Fantasy 13 and everybody's going to love it because it's Final Fantasy.
No.
And that
tried.
Didn't happen.
I tried. And I still, like, I've got 13 and I've got 13 too. And I haven't completed either of them. And I have no intentions of getting Lightning Returns. And it's not, as much as I like to gripe that it's really about her, it's not really about her. I'm just... They need to do something a little bit different for me. And I actually feel, which is a great segue, that they are going to do it. But I'm also still a little hesitant about that. So let me talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, talk about it.
So they've been talking a lot more about Final Fantasy XV. We're not getting it anytime soon.
No.
Like, I'd probably say we're probably seeing it. Maybe they might announce more stuff leading to its release in 2017. I actually don't think we're going to get it till 2018. But, with that said, they were showing off another trailer at Tokyo Game Show, and it looks like you're essentially going to be hanging out with your bros. Like, you're a bro, and you're hanging out.
And you're a bro.
And you're
hanging
out.
We're all bros.
You're hanging out with your three bros, and in the trailer, you're literally driving around in a convertible in this beautiful, because, you know, that's what Square Enix does.
Yep.
Is beautiful, art, like, landscapes and textures.
Yep.
And as these four dudes are just rocking down, and, like, I want to say it kind of looks like an Audi.
An Audi.
Yep. A convertible Audi. And they're all kind of talking. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this desert-y area is this giant stone-like gargoyle thing that's just kind of moving. And they're all just kind of like, yeah, that's its head. Oh, man, that's huge. Like, they're so nonchalant about the fact that they are living in a, obviously, technical advanced world. They've got cars. So it's very more technological in our sense of technology than fantasy technology.
Okay.
Yeah. So it seems like they're taking a step back towards a little bit more realism and blending it with their fantasy, which, like, you know, like, with deep down, they're doing the exact same thing.
Right.
So I think that that's going to be a big trend that we're going to see in games that are going to come out.
A realistic future as opposed to,
like,
apocalyptic
things that are bleeding
fantasy.
Between the two, so that people are going to be struggling to see, you know, struggling to realize what reality really is.
Well, I think
is.
That's one of the things that the Assassin's series has done, especially in the last couple of games, of bridging that gap between a time period and current day, or slightly futurish day, and people seem to respond pretty well to that. I think, you know, previously it was thought that, you know, in order to get people's attention, you needed to focus on fantasy, whether that was futuristic, space travel, or something like that that was different than the reality to get a hold of it. And then you get games like Heavy Rain and, you know, Beyond Two Souls, and that realism thing is actually something that the, you know, older gamer, the non-18-year-old, really kind of gravitates towards. And I think you're right. You're going to see more of that. Because, I mean, think about it. Quantum Break is not fantasy. and that thing is looking phenomenal. And, Drive Club is not fantasy. That's real world, crew. Like, I think you are. And I think we're just going to see even more of it as we keep talking. But I'll shut up because you're talking about
things. No. But, from the trailer, it really kind of looks like, I think your character is royalty. I'm assuming. But I don't know if it's prince in the way that we are used to princes and princesses in Final Fantasy to be. Because, it seems very down to earth. He seems very not bothered by anything. And, I'm interested to see...
Maybe a reluctant prince?
Kind of, sort of. But not like, oh my god, my title is so hard, first world problems. Mm. But more just kind of like, this is life. This is it.
So maybe his kingdom was completely destroyed.
Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation. Realism. But, he's got his four. He's got his three bros. One's probably more of a bestie than the other one.
Yep.
I mean, they're not... They haven't shown us...
That's probably the one that's going to get hurt or die.
They haven't shown us any ladies yet. So, I've also heard a little speculation that maybe we won't have any, heterosexual love interests. Which, would not be a first. We've had elements of that in other games, so that's not a big deal. But I am a little concerned about this blending of, reality and fantasy, the way that they're going, because it's either going to be, really, really good or really, really bad.
But I think you can say that about any game.
Sometimes I'm like, this isn't going to be great, but I'm still going to enjoy it. And, with Final Fantasy 13, too, the idea of going between, manipulating paradoxes to change your future, that concept is so interesting, but it's also very time consuming to the player, because if, like me, you get 3/4 through the game and then you stop for 4 months and then you go back and you forget what you've done,
right?
And the game doesn't give you, enough of a, recap.
It's not like a refresher when you jump back in. It's not like it's smart enough to know that, you haven't done this for 4 months. Maybe we should go back over the button structure real quick before you go back into this thing.
Well, it's not even that, but, because, certain things, you have to close off certain areas and keep a paradox open, and I wasn't going off of a book. I didn't go through a strategy guide. I did this all manually with my brain, which is amazing, because my brain does not usually operate at this type of frames per second. And when I went back to it, I was like, and I don't even remember half the shit that I did. And this game, while I don't feel will have that mechanic, and I hope to God it doesn't.
I bet you it doesn't. Because there's a lot of people that hated that mechanic.
Premise was great. Execution was horrible.
Yeah, I would almost put money on it that it does not use paradox.
But I mean, I feel like they're playing it really safe, having an all-dude group. Because, everyone loves their male protagonist, which, don't get me wrong, I understand it. I'm a fan of well-written characters. Gender doesn't ever really play a key in any of that. I love when the character happens to be female, but if they're not, that's perfectly fine. I'm not going to cry myself to sleep because,
Yeah, Nathan Drake.
Delson is a dude and not a chick. It doesn't bother me. By the way, I didn't finish that, but I watched somebody finish that, and I'm so mad. But I'm not going to get into that, because it has nothing to do with Tokyo Game Show.
I told you to finish the game, and if you spoiled it for yourself... If you spoiled it for yourself...
I'm going
to
look at you right quick and just say... I cried like a bitch! And I was like, what? What just happened right now? And I was like, I have to go to bed, because I can't even... And I went to bed.
I told you it was good, and I wasn't going to spoil it. I told you.
It made me have strong feels for our bond, bro. No spoilers. I was like, what?
I told you to finish that game.
Oh, my God. And now I can't, because I know it's going to happen.
No, you got to do it.
No.
You got to do it. You got to. No. Because you have to save the old lady. Or your trip will have been for nothing. I'm just saying. Stop your fake cry.
And it was so sad. So lastly, really quick, because once again, I'm talking about Capcom really quickly. Mm. Resident Evil, one.
Oh, yeah. Could you not talk about Resident Evil?
We're finally getting a remake of one. The remake is happening, which I can't wait for. They were showing off the achievement list, so I totally am jumping on that bandwagon. But also, interestingly enough, back when in the 3DS days, when we got Resident Evil Revelations.
Revelations.
Well, it looks like we're getting Revelations, too. So someone obviously did their spell check. It was leaked a few months ago that we were getting a number 2. And they're like, well, we might as well use this publicity to our advantage, which is very smart for Capcom. And they told us a little bit more about what's going to happen. So Capcom is obviously listening to the fan base because it looks like we are getting a female-female duo this year. Like, we're not going to get a man and a woman or, like, a playoff of multiple, you know, man and woman cuts like we did in the original games. Like, sometimes you were Chris and then it would cut to Claire, or then you would be Leon and then it would cut to Jill. We're actually going to get an existing co-pair of females, and we're getting Claire, and we're getting a new, well, she's not very new, but she's in the universe, and her name's Moira Burton. So she's Barry Burton's son. So backstory on that. If you played 1, Barry Burton was a part of the team that got stuck at the Spencer Mansion, and he's the one who had the hand cannon that you get later on in the game that gives you so much power, it's unbelievable. He's also the one who's like, wow, Jill, you almost became a Jill sandwich, because she almost gets flattened in a room that's, like, squishing. And, like, he's awesome. Everyone loves Barry. Like, Barry did nothing wrong. And then, you know, Barry met his untimely demise. So, why is Barry important? Well, Barry had a family. And Moira is his youngest daughter, who apparently is, like, a teenager now. And as long as this canon's been going on, I actually imagine that, like, Chris Redfield and Leon Kennedy are all, like, in their 40s. Ish, maybe pushing 50s, and they're just magically young because fighting zombies makes you young, apparently. And Claire, who is Chris's brother, sister, was a little bit younger than Chris, but not by too much. And I mean, in 5, he was 35. So I always imagine that Claire was probably like 32 then, but apparently she was younger than that because now we're getting a 30s in her early 30s Claire in this game. And she's primarily like the lead protagonist of the group. I think we're going to see a whole lot of dynamics between the two characters, you know, with a seasoned veteran like Claire, who's been doing this for a bit now, and Moira, who has information about what's been going on, but does not have any hand-to-hand actual knowledge and is actually quite frightened of handguns because of a personal tragedy that happened.
Uh-huh.
And I actually kind of feel like she might have had a gun and killed somebody in her family. But we don't know about that, but we're going to get...
Like Sword Art.
We're going to get... Yeah. I think something serious like that is going to happen. And, you know, Resident Evil has had deep stories, but I mean, you had to seriously kind of dig and dig and dig to get them in the right order for them to make sense.
Right.
So I kind of like that, one, they are not trying to make what happened in Revelations really play into what's happening in Revelations 2. We're getting a different story that I guess will somehow tie into Revelations, but not in a serious way like Resident Evil 1 and 2 kind of tried to blend themselves together, and then 3 kind of went all crazy, sort of. But I like the fact that we're getting a taste of a difference, so much so that Capcom has decided to kind of mimic the game style that Telltale did for The Walking Dead. So Revelations 2 is going to be episodic.
That's kind of interesting.
It's a very interesting way for... I don't think I've ever seen Capcom do anything episodic before. And it seems like they were really inspired by what Telltale was doing with The Walking Dead, that they really want
people... Well, and Wolf Among Us, technically.
Well, Walking Dead also kind of did this type of thing, but they want people to be drawn to the character story and let the games, you know, let the character stories drive the actions in the game.
Speaking of which, did you ever finish Wolf Among Us?
I finished Wolf Among Us. Yeah.
I have not. I should probably do that.
Yes, now. You should.
Okay.
Because I've talked to KBD a little bit about it, and everybody else who I know played it has still the last episode, and I'm like, you guys need to play this.
All right.
So that we can have discussions, because there's so many things I want to discuss about it, and I can't spoil. Like, I'm not going to be Light Ninja and tell me horrible things that happen.
Wait. I did
Avatar.
Not spoil... Look,
you spoiled.
Hold up.
You kicked the spoiler puppy was all curled up,
did not
wasn't
know.
Bothered, and then you stepped on its curly tail.
I did not know that you haven't finished it, because I have that book of Korra on my Apple TV.
I'm in book two right now.
So I assumed, like everything else that you marathon off of my Apple TV, that you've already run through it.
I went back to work. I couldn't. I have to do it in
pieces. You had the whole summer. So don't give me that. That is not on me. That is not my fault.
Anyway.
Not my fault.
Not my fault. And I mean, I bought...
Bet your ass is all caught up on Drunk History.
Actually, it is.
See? So, not my fault.
I bought Revelations because, I mean, for one, that typo was just too epic to not. And I did enjoy it for the 3DS. I know when we got a port over to the, I think it was the 360, I think, or the PS3, we got one. But I didn't move it over. But we already know that, one, I like the Telltale style of episodic. So as soon as I saw that, I'm like, yep, you're probably definitely getting my money. We got ladies on ladies in a, you know, non-indelecto-tangalicious way, which is totally fine.
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
It's all the weird word endings mushed together. So they're not, it's like not super sexy. It's not like, you know, Maria watches over us with all that lesbian angst tension around Jesus. I remember that series. I was like, oh, this is really bad. And by bad, I mean great. It's going to be something to keep your eye on, especially if you happen to be a fan of the franchise and you're still waiting for their remake of one to finally hit the shelves. So those are the things that really kind of, you know, made me drool a little bit out of Tokyo Game Show.
Just a little bit. Yeah, the only other thing that I have, like, in the back of my head, and I can't remember what the name of the game is, but it's the one that... the team that did Bayonetta is working on for Xbox. Spellbound, I believe. At TGS, they were talking about the gameplay and basically saying, "Do not expect." It was Platinum Games. Do not expect this game to play like Bayonetta,
okay,
or Devil May Cry,
okay,
at all.
Great.
We're really focusing on you not necessarily having to be a super stylish player and a super advanced player to be drawn to the game.
You didn't have to be a super stylish player to play a Bayonetta because you were just looking at a boobs.
Well, you did if you wanted to get the better equipment. You had to chain combos.
I was just slashing and then pleasure ponying all day or day.
Correct. But if you wanted to get the better weaponry and unlock all the costumes and whatnot, you had to chain combos together and not take damage. So you did have to be...
Not me.
...strategic.
I didn't do it.
If you wanted to get that stuff. What they're saying about this game is that they're really focusing on is the size and epicness of the battles and the battles themselves that you go into and not necessarily the how you go into them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's... I think that they're stopping short of saying, look, we're making a brawler. We're not making an action platformer. But I think that that might be what they're doing. And I'm totally okay with it if that's what they're doing. So I'm
totally okay with
I'm gonna keep an eye out. And if I hear any other things that, you know,
I'll
back
let
up
you
my
know.
Thought, I'll share. But I think Spellbound's going to be a brawler, and that'll make me so happy.
I miss the bouncer now that
See?
You're brawlers.
See? Dude, right? There was so much potential with that game.
Sion! Shut up.
It just was a little...
Oh, she was so...
The style was a little fuzzy, so
Sion.
It was a little... It was a little difficult to play at times, because it was...
Bitch, bring your octave down. I can hear you.
So focused, but... I did like the bouncer.
You gave me the bouncer because I was like, I want to play this
I
more.
I think we're the only two people on the planet
who played the bouncer.
No, who liked it. There were a bunch of people who played it and then sent it back to GameStop. I think you and I are the only two who liked it,
though. I was like, can I have it? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, whee! This is the best game ever!
So yeah, so that's what we got for you this week. We'll have more stuff on Tokyo Game Show and other news and anime and game stuff for you next week. Make sure that you check out all the stuff that we write about. There's even more stories out of BFIG up on the website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. All of the stuff that we write, as well as the rest of the ESH team, can be found there. Subscribe to the page. As soon as we put new stuff up, you'll find it, you'll see it, you'll read it, you'll love it, engage with it, share it on your social. It's awesome. Make sure that you get a hold of our podcast, become a subscriber, and there's all kinds of places you can get our show. So you can start on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You'll always find the podcast there. We are also in iTunes, so you can search for Eshcast and subscribe and get it either through the desktop or on your iOS device using the podcast application. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. You can find us on Vogue Network on Tuesdays right before Anime Jam Session. You can just search for the entirety of the web for Electric Sisterhood, and you'll find us in so many places. It's ridiculonculoso. But yep. Also, it's awesome. And we're not the only thing that make up the Land of Esh. We put out brand new shows at the beginning of the week, but you can follow that up on Tuesday with a brand new episode of No Borders, No Race. If you're into indie anything, music, theater, movies, entertainment, trust me, you want to check this out, especially if you're into K-pop, rock, and all that kind of stuff. No Borders, No Race, Held Down by a Homeboy, KBD, over at b3crew.com. On Wednesdays, if you want a little wiggle, a little bass in your face, then make sure that you check out Geek Aggro, hosted by our homeboy Deuces Wild. Great, great sets of really fantastic EDM trap music every single week. On Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program, call in live and share your issues. Bring it to the table.
It's free therapy.
It really is. And you can be part of the YouTube stream. So, for the rest of your week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, we are all upon the web. You can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Esh. Check out all the stuff that we're engaging with that piques our interest. Ask us questions. Share your opinions. If there's something you want us to check into and actually review on a podcast, hit us up on our page and let us know. You can also hit us up via the Twitter and be part of the randomness of the things that we tweet, because we're all over the place when it comes to tech and video games and anime and just general nerdery. So, we are at ESH News on the Twitters. And if you want to check out the entire team that makes up the Land of Esh, make sure you hit up my page, specifically twitter.com/NinjaSista, and check out the Land of Esh list. Anybody who's everybody in the ESH team is on there. Add them to your streams. You will enjoy your day so much more. So, with that said, it's the point where I turn to my sister and I say, hey, yo, sis.
Hey!
What shit you digging this week?
Legos.
Ooh, Legos are good.
Well, I have a Lego case for my iPhone 5S because, the 6
ain't coming. Do you build anything ever on the back of your
case? Well, because the Biffle has Legos, like, everywhere, so when he's doing whatever, I'm like, I'm gonna play with your Legos, and then I play on my phone. Aww. It's a good way to do... I use my phone more ways now than I have in months.
I'm not making a judgment statement.
Oh, but you're thinking about it. You're thinking one really loud. I can hear it. What shit are you digging this week?
I gotta be honest with you. This week, I'm digging comfy shoes because it's about to be fall in New England, and if you don't have the right gear upon your feet, they will be sad. So I'm digging comfy, like, insole-y shoes for walking around because cobblestones, this is a bitch.
Yeah. I hear that.
So as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next week, guys,
keep it classy.